Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want to see Loco?
Ah, yes! I'm very excited about this. This is Young MC to start out the Loco Hour. Today is the 30th anniversary of this CD, which includes Bust a Move and what I consider to be one of the most all-time bangers of a CD in the history of music 30 years ago today. And we're only going to play all day today cuts from this Young MC CD. Now, we have a special show planned for you every day.
Were you allowed to listen to this as a kid?
Young MC?
As a kid, though, you're allowed to listen to rap?
Young MC, this is like listening to a cartoon.
I just don't know if you're allowed to listen to rap in the Hawkman residence. I'm asking.
But this is like a cartoon.
Okay.
Did you say we're only going to play cuts from this CD?
Also, 30 years ago, I was 19 years old.
Don't get big now.
Not exactly certain if...
Don't get big.
I don't know if I had to ask Sandra and Lyle's permission to buy...
Now you acting like Lyle didn't have no pool.
I was living in Miami. They were in Chicago. What was I going to do? Hey, I'm at Specs. I'm calling you on a cell phone that doesn't exist. Can I buy this CD?
There was no CDs.
All tracks from Young MC today in honor of this being the 30th anniversary of the release. We're going to do today a little deep dive here on the Loco Hour for the Dolphins. The opening game is Sunday. This is, as I said yesterday on the show, going to be a season unlike anything you've seen. It's a very nebulous description. It's unlike anything you've ever seen. I believe that should be their marketing slogan because you don't know if that's good, bad. You don't know, but it's unlike anything you've ever seen.
And you want to find out.
There's an air of mystery about it. So, joining us in the studio here in El Portal, the Entercom Miami headquarters here, is Adam Beasley, covers the Dolphins for the Miami Herald, and he was going to sit with us for an hour and help us dig into what's going to be. Would you agree that that's a fair characterization? This is going to be unlike any season you've ever seen.
Guys, gather around. We're all going to be part of history.
There you go.
Y'all got some stuff going.
He gets it. Because we actually were spitballing yesterday, like if you were going to market it. Because Crowder said something. This happens to be very interesting. If you're the Dolphins, you're the marketing component of the Dolphins. Do you try to market the season or do you just kind of, you know, like they've got a marketing arm and they have a marketing budget. But do you say to yourself, who are we kidding? Or I'm not even saying that facetiously.
No, because they came out with a no tax on your season ticket.
There was an email yesterday, no surcharge or no ticket service fees or whatever if you buy it up until Friday or something.
But
like
we were
that.
Saying that can't be your motto of the year. No service charge. Like it has to be more than that.
Well, we got a hint early on when we got a copy of the media guide, and it was just a bunch of colors.
No names, no faces.
No names, no faces. Not even Flores. Just a bunch of colors.
That is crazy. So I don't. So we were spitballing. It's like, okay, if you had to make a media campaign, like what would you do? Because there's not a player to do it around.
Well, there's got to be a billboard somewhere in South Florida with Laramie Tunsil on it. There has to be. I mean, somewhere in the city.
And there you go. That's the marketing campaign. No. If you find it, tweet it at Miami Dolphins, and you get two free tickets.
There's actually at a gas station I go to. There's a Pepsi sign with Danny Amendola on it still.
Okay.
So okay. I've seen that. I've seen some Brian Hart lines.
I forgot he was their number one receiver.
Yes. I've seen some totally Danny Amendola still out
their
there.
Leading receiver from last year. Everyone's like, all right. Okay.
Yeah. It's crazy. Anyway, Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald is going to sit with us this hour. We're going to talk about the Miami Dolphins, give you a little deep dive on the Loco Hour. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. If you have a question for Adam Beasley, you could line it up at 786-360-0790. 786-360-0790. If you want to text the show, it is 67974. And texts on Hockman and Crowder are driven by Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota. This month, the all-new Toyotas are at clearance prices with 0% APR financing for 75 months on select models. But Adam Beasley will give us a little, you know, hour filled with what he observes because he's around them every single day. And I'll start with a fairly, what I think, basic question. Do you believe the Dolphins have a sound strategy?
Yes.
You're down with what they're doing.
Yes. That strategy includes going 2-14 this year. I don't know if you want to call it tanking, but it's what they're going to do. They're going to be really, really bad this year.
We said it yesterday. They're not dipping their toe in the water. No. This, I mean, they are all in on this.
Well, and the argument you get from the organization is, look, all these players that we got rid of, they were part of a nucleus of a team that went 7-9 last year and was a bad 7-9. They were lucky to have 7 wins, the Miami Miracle, Charles Clay dropping a pop fly, all that. And we understand that. The question I have in return is, what did you replace them with? I mean, it's good to get rid of guys that aren't living up to their contracts, guys that aren't scheme fits. I totally get that. But what this year are you going to replace them with? And they're very sensitive about the tanking word. But if they're not tanking, if they're trying to win this year and they go 3-13, we cover them like they went 3-13, not like they're rebuilding, like they had one of the worst seasons in Dolphins history.
Should they approach it differently? Because I'm listening to all the Brian Flores speak, mm-hmm. his press conference. What was that, yesterday? He had his press conference. And – to your point, he's acting like we're not seeing what's going on. They're acting like, no. We have our guys we want to win with. So should they approach it differently for us?
Well, the question is, how do they approach it with the players? I mean, we don't matter. I mean, I guess the paying customers matter. If there's 43,000 people at games in December, that's a terrible look, obviously. But how do the players consume this? Because they want 25, 27, 28, 30 guys from this team this year to be part of the good times going forward. They want to build their nucleus this year and go forward to them. And if they're all looking at Flores sideways when they're 0-7 and they're still running at the TNT wall, that's a bad sign. So, no, I don't know. Getting back to Hawk's point, I don't know how this year is going to play out. It's a mystery to us all. I will say this. They could poison the well by being so bad and so blind to the reality of what's going on right now that a lot of guys like the Xavien Howards that they want around here, like the Kenyon Drakes, like the Kaon Bellages, just get sick of it, and that's a real possibility.
You wrote something about losing the locker room if they traded Laremy Tunsil. And I'm wondering what the ramifications have been since Laremy's gone and Kenny Stills is gone,
right.
And who else? Vincent Taylor, mm-hmm. and John Denny. Like there's, but I don't know if the locker room even knows who those guys were anymore.
Right. That's the point. Is they got? I mean, have you guys ever heard of a team having 13 new players the week before the season starts? You not knowing who your offensive line is?
It seems counterintuitive. But, I mean, as silly as that sounds,
right.
It seems counterintuitive to go through a process, we talked about this yesterday, of OTAs and 4 preseason games, ostensibly to know the personnel, to learn how to play together with the personnel, mm-hmm. you have, and then after it's all over, clear out a quarter of it.
Right, that's the message they're sending, is none of that stuff matters. Like, because if it doesn't matter what the cohesion of the offensive line's like, if we don't think you're good enough, you're out, and 12 of your buddies are out too. Getting back to the original question, though, about losing the locker room, I do know that there is a lot of unhappiness around guys that have something to lose this year, players in contract years, players that are getting up in their career that don't want to be part of a 2-14 season, and there is a lot of anger, people being upset about the Tunsil trade. But they're petrified of their head coach. They're not going to speak up to the guy because they're going to be next, and they like to have their jobs.
Is there anything that when they talk to the players, like, I know in the media they're going to say certain things. I was a player, Bees. Mm-hmm. Hell, you covered me. Like, oh, no, we're happy. We're happy with the coach, this
right.
and that. You can see that. You can see with the players not in on record, but you can see the upset. You can see the struggle, especially with the older players. Rashad Jones is my boy. Like, I don't think Rashad is ready for a season like this.
No, there's no way. And a lot of other players in there. We had heard that there was a veteran that considered asking for a trade. Didn't happen, obviously. But there's there's some animosity going on in that locker room, and we're not even into a game yet. Like, we haven't even – they haven't lost a single game yet. They're undefeated, and it's already kind of on edge. So I think you're going to see more of this turnover. I think you're going to see them continue to get younger. Guys, they're not just young. they're by far the youngest team in the league. They're like a third of a year younger than any other team in the NFL. That's how young they are. And I think it's only going to continue that go that way. If someone wants to trade for Rashad Jones at the trading deadline, I'm sure they're going to listen. If somebody wants Kenyon Drake at the trade deadline and they give up value for him, I'm sure they'll listen. They're going to have like, I don't know, 25, 30 first-year or rookie players on their roster by the end of the season.
It's shocking what's going on with the Miami Dolphins because you rarely see this. Now, we're going to talk with Adam Beasley the entire hour. Let's get headlines, though, quickly here. Alejandro Solana has our headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
A lot to get to today. Major headlines going on. But naturally, we'll start off with the Miami Marlins, who finish off their series. Well, Beasley was telling me he wanted to hear about the Marlins.
No one wants to know about the Marlins.
See, yeah, he's kissing up to me now. I don't like it. Marlins at Pirates tonight, game three. They'll finish off their three-game series. Crowder, first pitch is at 7.05 p.m.
Tremendous.
Thank you.
Want to know who they play tomorrow?
No. I'd like to get to the next story.
Tonight, football is back, Papa.
There you go, Papa. Bring us all the pigskins, Papa.
The Packers and the Bears.
The Bears.
Kick off at 8:20 p.m. on NBC.
Very excited about this. Very excited. We're going to talk with Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler today, see if we should dibble-dabble in tonight's festivities.
Dibble-dabble?
A little dibble-dabble.
Bet the house. Going heavy on the Packers?
I don't know. I'm really torn on this game. I really am, because a three-point favorite at home in prime time is essentially two even teams, mm-hmm. right? So I don't know. The Bears had a hell of a lot better record than the Packers last season, but man, do you bet against Aaron Rodgers in prime time?
But Aaron Rodgers didn't do much last year either, and what's
Understood.
Matt LaFleur going to do?
I kind of feel like Aaron Rodgers is going to do whatever Aaron Rodgers feels like doing. I think he wants to put LaFleur, what's his name? Matt LaFleur in his place early. Like, so he knows, hey, here's how this team works. Like, you're all cute and everything, and maybe you'll be here longer than I am.
So game one.
Yeah.
The whole offense sees the call signaled in,
right.
and then Aaron Rodgers changes it.
That is right.
And everything runs smooth.
And that's why the Dolphins got rid of all their veterans.
Everything's a bomb.
That's why they did it, because there's no one to lead that uprising.
Right,
there.
Yeah. What else you got there, Solana?
The Raiders, this came across the wire about an hour ago, are planning on suspending their star wide receiver and newly acquired Antonio Brown.
Yeah, this is a shocking twist in this story. So they fined him for all his offseason shenanigans. He posted the fine letter on Instagram, and now Mike Mayock and John Gruden, I guess, are angry that he did that, and so they're going to suspend him. And it's like, it's crazy.
There's more to this. The way the NFL CBA works is that if you suspend someone for conduct detrimental to the team, it allows you to void their guarantees. And so I think this is just the first step in a process of extricating themselves from Antonio Brown. I would not be surprised if he doesn't play a game with the Raiders at all.
That's crazy. I mean, he's had a very noisy offseason.
But they let him. He pushed the envelope. And players do. Great players get treated differently. JT got treated a lot differently than I did. But he just kept pushing it.
Yep.
When he got his foot in the door, he just kept kicking at it,
yep.
and they got tired of him.
Yep, and that seems to be exactly what's happening, and I think Beasley's right. They probably just want to get out of this contract at this point. He's not worth the headache. Anything else, Solana?
The Kansas City Chiefs kick off the NFL season as the favorites in Vegas, 6-1 odds. The Patriots are second at 13-2.
That makes sense. Talk about that later on.
And finally, guys, today, very important day, is National Cheese Pizza Day.
Oh, hell yeah. Although I think we would all agree,
I was just gonna say
that pepperoni pizza is really the better style of pizza.
Pro tip, you guys Costco members?
I'm not.
No.
This alone is worth the membership. They have $10 18-inch pies that are delicious.
Are they good though?
They are delicious.
Like good.
I mean, they're not $30 pizza good.
Right.
But they're way better than $10.
Is Costco
pizza.
The place that has Kirkland?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm out.
They also have good vodka.
I'm out.
No, about saving money, bees.
You know, Aranda Gadsden and I have a policy. If you walk into a party and they're serving Kirkland anything, you walk your ass right out of there.
Wow.
And Aranda will text me because he gets invited to a lot
of
parties.
See what I deal with?
Aranda gets invited to a lot of parties, and he will text me constantly. People have no shame. Like, if you want to buy the Kirkland chips, put them in a bowl, and then you take the bag and don't put it on the top of the garbage can.
Burn it.
You gotta burn it.
Okay, I got that. All right, Hawk. They do say that the Kirkland vodka is Grey Goose. So do you just dump out the Grey Goose
right,
and put
so
Kirkland in there?
I've seen this a million times. Anytime I tweet about this, because I'll tweet like a screenshot of a rondé and like, oh, what do I do? There's Kirkland vodka out there. And it never ends. 50 people tweet instantly, that's Grey Goose, you're crazy. Listen, if it was Grey Goose, they'd put a Grey Goose label on it, okay? It's not Grey Goose. It's a Kirkland bottle of vodka. Something's different. There's no chance that it's exactly
the
same.
The label's different.
And a Toyota engine's the same as a Lexus engine, okay? So go buy yourself a Toyota and tell everybody you're driving a Lexus. See how that works out for you.
I use Kirkland golf balls.
You have anything else?
Oh, that's a good value.
Anything else, Solana?
Oh, no, I was just going to add that Costco bees. Great hot dogs as well.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's the $1.50 hot dog and soda.
They're huge.
That's a legendary deal. A legendary deal. $1.50 for a hot dog and soda.
I would put up, until they made their recent upgrades at Marlins Park, the Kirkland snack bar up to Marlins concessions.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, maybe. How much is a Costco membership?
I think $60 a year.
$60.
The savings come back three
Look
times.
At you acting like it's a lot of money.
Oh, here's $60 for you. And see, $60 for the pleasure of shopping in your store? This is like Epcot. This is why I don't understand Epcot.
Oh, God.
We bet hundreds on Saskatchewan.
Yeah, and listen, when I give $60 to Costco, they ain't going to give me $60 back if things go well. There's zero chance. It's like Norm MacDonald. Norm MacDonald has a great thing about, you know, gambling, being addicted to gambling, it being a disease. He's like, well, it's a disease or whatever. He goes, but if I get cancer, there's no chance I'm winning money. Like, if you have the gambling disease, there is a chance that you're going to get a payday.
That's
and,
a good point.
And then, you know, out of all the diseases to have.
that's the best one.
I think
you got to rate the diseases.
If I told you what's the best disease to have, would it be addiction to gambling? I kind of feel like it might be.
And it's hard to get rid of.
It's hard to get rid of, but there's always the chance that this disease brings you riches.
What is it? 1-800-YOU-BET-IT or something? You need help?
Yeah, it's
know when to say when.
There's a Defoe text once, a Defoe story once. He's like, his mother left him a message on his answering machine. Defoe, I have not heard from you in a long time. Please call me back. My number is 1-800-ADMIT-IT. Yeah, that makes sense. All right, we're going to talk Dolphins. Adam Beasley is here from the Miami Herald. What kind of team could this possibly be? Is there a possible surprise in here somewhere?
Sure, there are a lot of good young players that could pop. I don't doubt that. I just think the cumulative talents over the course of a 16-game season is going to get exposed. They're going to lose a lot of games. And here's another way to think of it, guys. Over the Adam Gase era, they were incredibly good in one-score games. They were statistically – it was not possible how good they were. That luck's going to change. Like, they're not going to win one-score games this year. So they might have a talent of a 4- or 5-win team, but luck's going to catch up with them. They'll win one or two.
And can my man Fitzmagic, can he have those games with this team?
Sure.
That was what I was planning on, was he was going to have his 400-yard game.
Well, he better be good at three-step drops.
Quick game.
Yeah, very quick game. But they got talent on the outside. People forget how dynamic Albert Wilson was before he got hurt, and we got to assume that he's going to be back to what he was. Jakeem Grant's the same way. If they were confident enough to get rid of Kenny Stills and they have these guys behind him, I think they like their chances. So, you know, they can score some points. The problem is that they can't do it consistently. So I think there'll be a game or two where he has four touchdowns, and that'll be one or two games they win. But the rest, I mean, they just can't get off the line.
I mean, this isn't what Ryan Fitzpatrick signed up for.
It is what
he
signed up for.
This, though, this offensive line.
I tried to go down that road with him yesterday. I was like, when you signed here, did they tell you what the vision of the 2019 Dolphins was? Nope. I just wanted to start. He just wanted to start. That was his number one. He wanted to be the guy that broke the record for starting for most teams in the NFL, and on Sunday it'll be 8. And he just wanted a shot at a starting job.
I mean, because I'm trying to think.
And there
of
was
the,
one opportunity in the NFL, and it was here.
That I understand, but I'm trying to think of what the roster was when he agreed to come here. I mean, was Cam Wake still on the team? Like, I wonder.
Oh, God. No,
I'm trying to figure out the trenches,
no,
obviously.
The purge had happened. Purge part one. We've had purge part two this past
right,
week.
Right.
So, no, like, yeah, everybody who was going to be gone, the big number of guys that you assumed were going to be gone, they were gone at that point.
Yeah. I find that hard to believe that.
Like, but B's just talking about the outside guys. Like, you could sell Jakeem Grant. You can sell Kenny Stills, who was on the second part of the purge. Devontae Parker. Hey, you have a big guy. Mike Williams build, not mm-hmm. not Mike Evans, but that build, that what he was sold on. Now, Laramie Tunsil leaving, I'm sure, upset him, but there wasn't much on this offense when he came.
No, I understand, but I don't think that he thought it would be an offensive line literally devoid of talent, right?
I mean, think he just wanted the jersey. I think he wanted to say that I've started a game for 8 different franchises, and I'm the only person on the planet who's ever done that.
Because I think he's going to be running for his life the entire season. What fun is that?
It's going to be bad. Well, yeah. The question is, how long does he last?
Right.
And that's the real question. I mean, everyone's clamoring for Josh Rosen. Rosen's probably sitting back there and thinking, hey, I'll go to the Giants or somebody next year, you know. I'll go to another team where things aren't as bleak, and I'm good on the bench for now.
Oh, I'll tell you now, at 0-6, if he gets sacked, the fourth sack in one of those games, he's going to grab that side. Coach, something inside's hurting me. Let me send Josh on in here.
Yeah, Hawk, it sounds like he's speaking from experience here.
You know what?
Dude's grabbed a couple of his sides every now and then.
It wasn't during the game, but Zach Thomas, as an OG, told me, hey, don't never say knee or ankle if you want to practice off, because they can MRI that.
Right.
Say something in my abdomen, because there's so much crap in there, they can't tell you if your spleen or your large intestine or something. Like, just always point at your
Crowder
stomach.
Crowder says his go-to move. Didn't matter who was blowing by him. He would always turn around, where's my help?
That's why me and YB were so close. He's like, bro, if you keep looking back here at me, every time you get beat, we're going to fight. YB, man, where you at, bro?
There was a lot of that last year on the Miami Dolphins.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald is with us for the entire hour. Somebody texts in, Hockman is the sports radio version of Antonio Brown. Selfish, self-centered, all about himself, ultimate diva. A lot of people agree. I would suggest turning to 560 WQAM around 3 o'clock. That show is a whole heck of a lot better than the mess you get here. So just suffer through this for the next 45 minutes, and then you get the hell on, and you switch over to 560.
You asked about the best disease, which is a crazy concept, sex addiction.
Oh, yeah.
Well, not if you want to stay married.
Well, what if it's with your wife, though?
No woman can handle that.
Oh, if you're making babies, that's terrible.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more on Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see Loco?
So excited about playing Young MC all day long.
You said this was popcorn rap?
Bring all the Young MC, Papa.
Young MC was like Soulja Boy.
No, he was a cartoon. Soulja Boy raps about sex and whatnot. I'm telling you, Young MC... Like, one of the songs, is this Principal's Office? Like, one of the songs is Principal's Office. Like, it's bubblegum rap.
Oh, like young Will Smith.
Yes.
Bust a Move?
Bust a Move. Yep. That's on this CD, which that's an all-time banger.
Of course it is.
All-time banger.
I was 9 when this song came out, so.
Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. He was
27.
He was 19. Was not asking my parents for permission. I don't even think I needed permission.
Big man.
I don't even think the parental advisory applied to me at this time.
Sometime in the next 12 months, your mailbox is going to start being populated with mailings by a certain four-letter acronym. Mm-hmm. Are you worried about that day?
What, AARP?
Yes.
Yeah, my wife just turned 50, and so she got a thing in the mail. I put all the AARP mail, like, right on her desk, you know, because they offer, like, a Bluetooth speaker, or here's a basket for your trunk, you know, because you're going to need help carrying stuff. Like, like here's a basket. If you sign up for your AARP membership, you get this basket.
I will tell you this, though.
Nice basket.
If I could today, I would live in a 55 and over community. Oh. Those things are incredible.
So pleasant. That's like a community run by Young MC. That's the way that I, you know, it's like everything's nice and, you know, the Boca del Vista. All right, I don't want to waste our time with
Action,
Adam Beasley.
Man.
By the way,
they
though.
They said it's a sex fest at those old people apartments.
Yeah, boy.
They have outbreaks there. They have outbreaks.
Oh, boy.
Like Dustin Hoffman?
Not that kind of outbreak.
No, the little monkey's not there.
We were talking yesterday about the hurricane and how lucky we got and how we're going to do our best here at Entercom, and all of South Florida will do their best to help our neighbors out to the east. Bahamas Paradise Cruise Line is issuing an urgent call for donations to aid in Hurricane Dorian relief. So the cruise line is requesting that items be delivered to its Riviera Beach warehouse by 5 p.m. today. So if you're listening up, you know, in Palm Beach County, and you can make it up to their Riviera Beach warehouse by 5 p.m. today, supplies are going to be loaded onto the Grand Celebration, and it'll depart Port of Palm Beach at 8 p.m. tonight, along with volunteers and first responders, and the grand celebration, I guess, will be the first ship to arrive in Freeport following that awful storm. The address to that warehouse is 301 Broadway in West Palm Beach or Riviera Beach, and you can always text us, and we'll give you the address if you need it. But that's the Bahamas Paradise Cruise Line. They're going to set sail at 8 p.m. tonight, and they need donations by 5 p.m. today at their Riviera Beach warehouse. Adam Beasley covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald. He was sitting with us this hour so we can do kind of a deep dive into the Dolphins as they start up on Sunday. Do you think Brian Flores and Chris Greer have had any, many, or no missteps in what they've done over the last 2-3 months?
Chris Greer, we'll find out with Dwayne Haskins. Right, that's the one. I mean, if Haskins is a stud and Tua or Herbert or whoever they draft is not that same player, that's going to get Chris Greer fired. Aside from that, I'm cool because they've got value every step of the way. The way you have to look at the way they built their roster this year is they just bought 50 scratch-offs. Right? You don't expect your scratch-offs to win, but if you win $1 million, you're happy as hell. And that's what Josh Rosen is. That's what the Dante Parker contract is. That's what Robert Kimdiche, I think that's how you say his name, Kimdiche is. They're just a bunch of lotto tickets. They're low risk, high reward, and if they work out, great. In the meantime, he's been getting his financials in order. All those bad Tannenbaum contracts are now gone. And aside from Rashad Jones, and that'll be gone next year. I mean, this is his last year with the Dolphins. I don't think it's going to be any secret that this is it for him. And they're going to be able to go forward next year with guys, not 100, not 120, $160 million in cap space. The cap's only $200 million next year.
And they're gonna, a tremendous number of draft picks.
And premium picks, two in the first, two in the second, two in the third. They are set up for the future. But that's the easy part. It's easy to tear something down. And if you're going into a season where your number one objective is not to win, I'm not saying their number one objective is to lose, but their number one objective has not been to win this year, it frees you up to do so many things, and they've done that. So I think Chris Greer, by and large, has done the right thing so far. The Tunsil trade, we'll see how that plays out. If they don't get players for him and Tunsil goes on to be a Hall of Famer, that's going to look bad, but I give him the benefit of the doubt for now. Flores is a different situation. We don't know what he's doing, where he's going. I'm not saying that the locker room is turned on him. Absolutely not. But there are definitely people in that locker room that look at him a little cross-eyed after having the hardest training camp that they can remember. I mean, it was a grind running to the TNT wall and doing push-ups and playing out. They had no bubble days. I think once in training camp they were in the bubble because there was, a thunderstorm outside. I mean, everything else was outside, hot as hell. And we can question that. We can question how hard they push these guys for going into a season where the expectations aren't high and they're going to burn out midway through the year because their bodies can't hold up. So that's a place where I would question him. And number two, the quarterback situation. Why is Ryan Fitzpatrick starting for this team? Why is Josh Rosen not getting the entire season to go? If you're going to go young at guard, if you're going to go young at defensive line, if you're going to go young all over the field, wide receiver, why not go young at the most important position to get an answer? Those are really the only two questions I would have. You can joke about Kenny Stills and Jay-Z and all that, but I think that was just a blip. But the two broader issues, is he going to have control of this locker room when things go sideways, which we don't know because they will go sideways, and did they make a mistake not saying as soon as they traded for Josh Rosen, he is our guy, we're going to do absolutely everything we can to get a good read on him this year.
And talking about Flores' approach, I guess I get caught up in the two B's where – he was under Belichick. He knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like, is that what everybody kind of assumes? Whatever decision he makes, oh, it's the Patriot way, it'll work out.
Well, where has it worked out otherwise? Other places, and that's the question. I mean, the Texans, we think they're going to be pretty good this year. Bill O'Brien's had some success. But Matt Patricia's on borrowed time. I mean, you go through the list, McDaniels didn't last 2 years. I mean, there's a long list of just explosions of coaches from that coaching tree that didn't pan out. So I would say pump the brakes on that. I think something that hurts him is losing Jim Caldwell. I think Caldwell was going to be a big kind of Sherpa for him, like kind of, hey, don't keep in the guardrails, and this is the direction we want to go in. And with his health issue, he's no longer even really part of the organization. So, that works against him. But I do think Flores does a lot of things right. The discipline, accountability. What was Adam Gase's famous line? We have two rules. Do your job and show up on time. Well, one of those rules should have been don't do blow in your office and then videotape it and send it to a hooker. I mean, that probably should have been a rule,
does
too.
That was three. Was that three?
Does that need to be spelled out, though? I feel like that doesn't need to be spelled out.
Well, apparently it did. And so Flores, I think, is going to bring a level of professionalism, accountability. I think he's putting that culture in place to be a winner. The question is, can his players stay bought in during what's going to be a really tough season?
Because that's what happened during Crowder's 1-15 season. He's told the story myriad times on the air, right? Cam Cameron lost that team early on, but then when you're going through the travails of going through a 1-15 season, you really have to have a tight grasp, and he had already lost it at that time. That'd be the biggest concern, right?
And no, just like Beasley said, no structure, no. And it's funny, you don't want to say, like, when you say fear of a coach, people think like fear of a parent to a child. It's not that. It's that he's going to hold me accountable for every step when I'm in this building, behaviorally, on the field.
How he deals with us.
How he deals with the media, how he deals with the coaches, how he deals with the trainers, how he deals with the lady that makes the omelets in the morning. Like, the accountability of that. The thing with Cam Cameron, it was no accountability. No one, even if you messed up, even if I got in a fight, I'd have to go see the head coach. You can't, you're not allowed to fight. You're a grown man getting paid. Hey, boy, you guys get out of line a lot, don't you? Okay, Crowder, take that easy. Like, it was like going to talk to, you know, a buddy that was running this football team, where it seems like Flores isn't that, but he has to find where his window's going to be for that with going through this tough season.
Right, and there's also a fine line between, you know, obviously being too lax and running a high school program. And I'm not saying that as pejorative. I'm saying running to the TNT while doing push-ups, all these things. We're grown men. We're you know, Rashad Jones is going to make more this year than Brian Flores will make in 3 years. You know, these are pros. Can they handle it? Can their egos, can what they're accustomed to be okay with it? That's why I think in a lot of ways they're going as young as they are, because these kids, they don't know the difference. They came from a college program where college coaches are dictators. And I'm not saying Flores is a dictator, but he certainly has a stronger hand than Adam Gase does.
It is weird, though. There's this weird back and forth of where – disciplined, we don't want to see mistakes, we want people to perform at their best, and then some of the guys that were performing the best got jettisoned. And so what is the message there? It gets convoluted pretty quickly.
You talk to people inside the organization, and their response is two words: progress stopper. Like, yeah, we know what Kenny Stills is. He's not going to be here in 3 years when we think we're going to be really
Taylor,
good.
Taylor, though, what was that?
I wouldn't have done it personally, but they say it was a scheme fit issue. But I mean, he still has got to be one of the best 53 players you have on your team. So there are some moves there that really make you scratch your head, for sure.
But I guess he's making his mark, though. That's part of what he wants to do.
And with Vincent Taylor, I don't know, Bees, you're around him more than I am, but, like, they're the eye roll guys. That even that can get to, you know, a young coach is trying to implement on those young guys.
That actually makes some sense, where it's like Brian Flores saying to himself, the last thing we're going to need this season is some dude rolling his eyes in the locker room.
Because I'll say the worst thing for Cam Cameron in that 07 season was Joey Porter. Because Joey Porter's not letting anybody get away with anything around him. He's going to call out. The lady puts a red pepper in his omelet, not the green peppers he wants. Hey, lady, what the hell is this red pepper? I didn't ask about. Like, Joey's going to call out everybody, and he would call out Cam continuously when he was doing that dumb stuff, the giggling, the throwing the keys against the wall, all that. He would call out Cam, and it did. It minimized what he was as a head coach to me as a young player. Damn, you're going to let Joey Porter talk to you like this?
I just can't imagine who in that locker room has the gravitas to do that now. I mean, Rashad, he's quiet.
Yeah.
And Xavier's very quiet. Who else there has the job security and all that, the money in the bank to be able to pull that? There's no one there.
Right. It's got to be somebody that wouldn't care, which would be a Ryan Fitzpatrick. But that's not his personality anyway. And you said that he kind of knew what he signed up for, so he's being the good company man. I don't think that guy exists, really.
No. Not on this team.
And that's why we haven't seen an uprising, because they're all gone now. Like, there are a lot of people that were inside that building were like, this is BS. If they trade Laramie Tunsil and they blow up our offensive line a week before the season, a lot of those guys are gone now.
Yeah.
And Dolphins,
you got to be set for life to challenge a coach.
Yeah. It has to literally be, I don't care anymore.
You got, like, $30 million in the bank. Yeah. Hey, coach, man, ain't nobody listening to that crap. Cut me. I'm going to my $30 million. I'm going to my big house. These guys that are playing on rookie deals, they're not set for life.
Right.
If they get cut and don't get picked up, they got to go work at their high school. Like, they're not set up. Their kids aren't set up. You got to have one of those guys, kids that are set up for them to really push back against a coaching staff.
Dolphins have the Ravens on Sunday to open the season. We will continue our deep dive into the Dolphins with Adam Beasley from the Miami Herald. He's in studio with us. We will continue on next on Hockman and Crowder.
You want to see loco?
Yeah, this is when Young MC started to get a little sexy on you.
This is sexy?
This is sexy.
I don't think Lyle likes this, man.
Do you remember the last time that we celebrated Young MC and the release of this album? Do you remember what happened?
He came. His sister was listening.
And
she
he called
him and had him call the show.
Yeah. Because it was like 5 years ago or 4 years ago that I saw on the 80s Twitter or whatever that it was the anniversary of the release of this CD. And his sister lives in Miami. She was listening.
Wow.
And so Falero was the producer back then. And during a commercial break, he's like, there's a dude on the phone that says he's Young MC. And I'm like, well, ask him these questions because I happen to know about, like, I know his real name and all that stuff. And he had all the answers. We put him on the air, and I could tell instantly, yeah, that was Young MC. And he's like, yeah,
smiling. What did he say?
He's like, my sister told me to call that you guys are celebrating the release of Stone Cold Rhymin'. I'm like, yeah, all time banger.
The question I have is, why is your sister listening to this show?
Yeah, why is anyone? Why is anyone listening to this show?
Hoffman and Crowder, that's why.
Let's be honest here. Adam Beasley is with us. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Miami Herald, and they start their season—a season unlike any other. They start on Sunday. Is there a way that you could see them beating the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday?
Sure. Yeah. If Lamar throws a couple picks and Fitzy goes Fitzy, yeah, of course they could.
Because the line right now is 6.5, and I think it's wildly low.
The Ravens.
So, and we're on the Ravens at -5. Mm-hmm. We put it in a couple weeks ago before Tunsil got traded, and now it went up to 7 and 7.5 even. It's back down to 6.5 right now. But I'm having a tough time really figuring out, just based on what Baltimore's done to them recently, I'm having a tough time figuring out, but I guess that would be an explanation.
It's this simple. The Ravens had the number one defense last year. The Dolphins' offense is going to be number 30, 31, 32. There's no way the Dolphins are going to be consistently able to score on that team unless there's a bunch of turnovers.
And Bees, you hit it on a little earlier, but the offense, run game, quick passing game, very simple offense, correct?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Kenyon Drake catch like 60-70 balls this year because it's just going to be boom boom out quick, get to the running back, get you in space, and that's their only chance. If they sit back there in 5 and 7 step drops and survey the field and try to throw home run balls to Devontae, pray for Ryan. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be bad.
He's smart enough to know that he can't do that. You know what I mean? Like, I could see where Josh Rosen, he's going to drop back and he's not going to have pocket awareness and whatever. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick knows that he's got to get rid of the ball real quick.
I mean, but this is also the same dude that trucked a safety in the second preseason game.
True.
He should know better than that.
He's going to get impatient. I played against I know he's going to get impatient. He's going to try to make that
That's
big
the best
play.
Line of the day. I played against Fitzpatrick, all right? Okay.
That's crazy.
A couple of crazy stats. I wrote this today. Do you know who he threw his first touchdown pass to?
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Let's try to figure this out. Was it in Buffalo?
I'm not giving you any hints.
Who did Ryan Fitzpatrick throw his touchdown pass to? I don't know.
Torrey Holt. Second touchdown pass, Isaac Bruce.
Wow. That's crazy.
Damn.
2005.
That's funny. Yeah, he played against them. I mean, that's all you need to know about the Dolphins starting quarterback, right? Have you ever heard me read the T-shirt? I've got this website, honkedofflikeagoose.com.
Yes.
You've heard the T-shirt on this because it's a staggering number. It's why I don't have a problem with what the Dolphins are doing, because the T-shirt kind of tells you how difficult it is to find a quality quarterback. This is every starter, and I preface this, so help you God if you text me Pat White on this one. So help you God. He never started a game. He never started. These are Dolphins starters since Dan Marino. Jay Fiedler, Damon Heward, Ray Lucas, Brian Greasy, A.J. Feely, Sage Rosenfels, Gus Frerotte, Dante Culpepper, Joey Harrington, Cleo Lemon, Trent Green, John Beck, Chad Pennington, Chad Henney, Tyler Thigpen, Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill, Jay Cutler, Brock Osweiler, and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's amazing.
It's an unbelievable list of ineptitude.
What would be even more telling is how many of those guys never started for another team other than the Miami Dolphins. Because if you're good enough and you're Ray Lucas and you're good, someone else will pick you up and you'll play at some point. He was with the Jets, obviously, right? Before he came to the Dolphins, is that correct?
Ray Lucas was with the Jets before. Yeah before the Dolphins.
But there is Thigpen, did he ever play for anybody else?
No.
There's a long list of guys that this was their only chance. And I think right now, this is Ryan Fitzpatrick's only chance to be on the field.
But it's why I don't mind doing what they're doing, because you can see from that list of quarterbacks, they've never really had the elite of the elite coming out of the draft, right? They've never been in a position to do that.
Let me ask you this. Did the Rams tank for Jared Goff?
Did they tank?
No. Did the Eagles tank for Carson Wentz.
No.
There are ways to get your quarterback without doing what they're
okay,
doing.
Okay, but that being said, though, we've been on a hamster wheel for 15 seasons,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they've tried. We talked about this yesterday. They've tried every different approach, right? Let's go get high-priced, high-profile free agents from Mike Wallace, who was highly coveted that offseason, to Ndamukong Suh, right? They've tried to get players via trade. They've tried to draft a quarterback. They tried Ryan Tannehill. It was a first-round pick.
Right.
Like, they've tried every way to do it. So it's not like, you know, they went to the playoffs 3 years in a row, missed the playoffs 1 year, and decided, clean house, let's be awful,
yep.
and because we see a quarterback that we like. They have tried for almost two decades to resolve the problems. They've never been able to do it. This is the first time that they've tried this approach.
I think we'll look back at the Ryan Tannehill eras. I mean, everyone can talk crap on Tannehill. I think he was a pretty good quarterback, but that set them back a decade.
Lost decade.
Because they kept doubling down on the guy that was a known flawed commodity, that he's going to get you so far, and that's your ceiling. And they kept doubling and tripling down. What they should have done, Gase got hired to fix Tannehill. The year after he got hurt, 2017, they should have pulled the plug, moved on from then. I think if they would have done that, Dan, gone and gotten Gase's quarterback in the draft, he would still be the head coach.
Did any of those guys get you? Because Trent Green and Culpepper were the guys, when they came to the team, beat, I was like, oh, my goodness.
You were on the cover
something.
Of Sports Illustrated. Well, the Dolphins were, because
yes.
they were going to win the Super Bowl.
Did Pep
Which
get
one?
You?
The Culpepper year?
Culpepper yeah. year. We were favored to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, he was a great quarterback in Minnesota.
His knee just didn't function.
Right, no, I don't think there was a shame in that. Like,
right.
again, when I read that list, like, yeah, that was a good approach. They chose the wrong guy. Mm-hmm. We know that. That's been, you know, and the Matt Ryan. Like, there's different things where you can look back and go, they should have done this, should have done that. But they've tried a lot of approaches to find a quarterback since Dan Marino. They've never hit on one. They lucked into Chad Pennington.
Yep.
He was terrific for a season. Was exactly what they needed, right? But they've never found an elite quarterback. And if they really believe that Tua or Fromm or even Trevor Lawrence mm-hmm. two seasons from now, like if they really believe this guy is as elite as they come, we've looked at him, we've studied him, we need to be in a position because look at that T-shirt, and we need to be in a position to have an elite quarterback. I just don't think there's any shame in it.
There's no shame, but there's going to be pain. Like, this year is going to suck. It's going to be terrible. And I feel for the people that back in January, February, not knowing this was going to happen, shelled out the thousands of dollars for season tickets because they're going to go this year, and there'll probably be some paper bags on heads, and it's going to be empty. We'll know pretty quickly what their season ticket base is. I think we knew that in the preseason game because they won't sell any single-game tickets. Like, yeah. the number they announce is their season ticket number because people are not going to walk up to the box office and say, hey, who are the Dolphins playing today? I want to go. Granted, when they play teams that draw well.
The Eagles,
yeah,
Philadelphia
like
always draw well.
But the Bills game, whatever that number announced number is, that's their season ticket base because they're not going to sell a bunch of single-game tickets.
Maybe we should go streaking. Dallin, you know, embrace the fan base. We go streaking.
Try to become like.
I know if I streak, the women are going to come.
I know if I streak, everyone's going to shield their eyes.
They're going to turn the paper bags the other way.
They're going to go, man, that is an ugly woman.
They're going to tape the eye holes back on.
Why is that ugly bald woman streaking? That's interesting. Boy, she's got no shame.
Proud of her body.
Have you guys ever done that, by the way?
What's that?
Go streaking?
Yeah.
No, I've never
He went
streaking.
To a nude beach like less than a year ago.
Haul over nude beach.
Okay, yeah,
man.
I used to live up there, so I would run by there, and I would make sure I ran on the beach. It wasn't what you want to see.
No.
It's not what you want to see.
I told him it's about 10% of positivity.
Yeah,
and
the rest is
75-year-old
You're looking for
women.
Some saline for your eyes after you leave there.
And then
it
the guy
burns, it burns.
But the guy with the baby leg, he walks around all confident. Yeah, man, I don't want to see that. Put that away.
The baby
So what's
leg.
Your what's your prediction, Adam Beasley, from the Miami Herald on Dolphins wins for the season?
Well, I picked 4-12 in the preview section, but that was also the same preview section that had Laramie Tunsil on the cover.
Man, did you get blasted on that tweet?
Oh, dude.
That was one of the funniest tweets of all time. The morning, it was like the morning that Tunsil got traded, Beasley comes out with a tweet that says, well, I feel safe saying this now. We were nervous about having this cover, but Laramie's fine, and then he gets traded.
Tens of thousands of people have dunked on me in the week since then. I mean, it's like the slam dunk contest on my head. So,
yeah. So you pick 4-12.
But
in,
I don't believe
that
anymore. I think 2-3 wins, something like that.
Yeah. This is going to be a painful season. A season unlike anything you've ever experienced.
I like it.
It's a good marketing campaign, I think, right? Because you're not really, you're not locked into anything.
Right.
Like, you can't call your season ticket rep and go, wait, you promised me a great season. No, no, I didn't. I promised you a season unlike anything you've ever been through before.
Like when your kids say, watch this for their magic trick. Yeah. You're like, oh, wow.
Right.
Oh,
yeah. That's actually not a bad slogan. Watch this. You came up with it.
2019 Dolphins.
Watch this. It's like it's Brian Flores up there with flash paper. What? What am I looking for? I don't know. Just watch this.
We're 1-10.
So we have a loaded potato. Thank you, Adam Beasley.
Sure,
follow Adam Beasley on Twitter, and you can read his work in the Miami Herald, miamiherald.com as well. On the show today, Rob Pizzola, professional sports gambler. We'll ask him, obviously, about Dolphins-Ravens line. Ask him, we've been stuck on this UCF-FAU line. They play Saturday in Boca. That's going to be really interesting. Don Bailey Jr. today is going to join us. We've got some funny lines set for him to go that he could work into the broadcast, Canes and UNC on Saturday. And Omar Kelly from the Sun Sentinel is going to join us as well. We've got genuinely a loaded potato today. But thank you, Adam Beasley. Again, read his work in the Miami Herald, miamiherald.com, and dunk on him as well. Because that tweet was funny, right?
It was like,
I finally feel safe saying this. Laramie Tunsil, this was almost a disaster. And it was like 2 hours later, Laramie Tunsil's been traded.
Okay, so our section, our newspaper the next day on Sunday, one section, Tunsil cornerstone, the next section, Tunsil cut, or Tunsil traded. I mean, it was
newspapers
disaster.
Just can't keep up anymore. Yeah. Just can't keep up.
But it was two. He had to do it. Two ones, a two,
yeah,
and
oh,
two
of course
players.
You had, to, had do to do it.
I think it was something that had to be done. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to take all the stations, Papa. We take all the stations. The Hockman and Crowder simulcast comes your way next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.